Throughout Advent, we have we've been addressing the question of what do you fear? Today, our response is, even in our fear, we are called forward. So I hope you hear that in today's reading. This is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 39. Listen for God's word to you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. This is the word of the Lord. When I moved to Albuquerque for my second pastoral call, my sister, her two children, and our mother met me there. Looking for fun things to do during their visit, I bought tickets for us on the Sandia Peak Tramway. The tram is the longest aerial tram in the United States. It starts in the foothills of the Sandia Mountains at around 6,500 feet in elevation and travels to the Sandia Peak, which is more than 10,000 feet high. At some points, the tram is 900 feet above the ground. The kids and my mom and I had a great time. We were oohing and aahing over everything, the mountains, the views of the city, and miles of New Mexico landscape. We were watching for mountain goats and bighorn sheep, loving the experience. And I thought that all of us were enjoying the ride until my sister reached over and ran her soaking wet hand down my forearm. That was when I realized that she was terrified. It probably didn't help that right about then, the tour guide pointed out that we were passing over the wreckage of a TWA flight, which crashed into the mountain in 1955. Later, I asked her why she said yes to riding the tram, and she explained that her kids were so excited, she didn't want to hold them back or transmit her fear to them, so she sucked it up and got in the car. And then she also had to suck it up for the ride back down the mountain after we finished exploring the peak. Have you ever confronted a fear? Done the very thing that terrifies you? Eleanor Roosevelt said, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. You must do the thing you think you cannot do." Sorry, Mrs. Roosevelt, that is completely counterintuitive. Because fear is an early warning system in our minds and our bodies. Fear is a protective mechanism, sending the alarm when we are in peril, helping us to escape from danger. Fear is important. But not all fears are the same, are they? And sometimes fear paralyzes us, preventing us from doing the things we need to do or things we might really enjoy. It's important to know when to run away from the thing we fear, just as it's important to know when to run or at least slow walk toward the thing we fear. My sister did not want to impose her fear of heights on her children, and so she got on the tram and rode it up and down the mountain. Her love for her children overpowered her fear. She did the very thing she thought she couldn't do. Thank you very much, Mrs. Roosevelt. And in doing so, she managed to transform her fear. In a commentary on today's reading, the Reverend Dr. Bo-Young Lee wrote, "Some fear protects us, but some fear is the threshold of transformation. Some fear protects us, but some fear is the threshold of transformation." Have you experienced that sort of transformation of fear? Have you done the very thing you feared and found that the fear was transformed, or at least somewhat lessened? Our scripture readings today are call stories. Call stories record the moment when God calls a person to ministry. Alex read the prophet Jeremiah's call. "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I anointed you a prophet to the nations.'" And Jeremiah's totally normal human response to God's call, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." Jeremiah had a fear of public speaking and pointed out that he was very young, too young, he thought. He was probably hoping that God would let him off the hook. We also read Mary's call story in Luke's gospel. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." And Mary's totally normal human response to God's call, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Mary rightly pointed out that it was physically impossible for her to become pregnant since she was a virgin. Maybe, like Jeremiah, Mary was also hoping that God would let her off the hook. Jeremiah could have told Mary that God does not let people off the hook. At this point in the sermon, I would like to take a little side journey. This week, I read a quote about the virgin birth that I thought might be helpful to many of us. The virgin birth can be a huge stumbling block for lots of people. And if that is true for you, see what you think of this explanation. Amy Jill Levine and Ben Witherington III wrote in their commentary on Luke's gospel that the virginity of Mary in the birth of Jesus is important to the story because it is meant to emphasize God's miraculous divine power. The Hebrew Bible is full of stories of older women, infertile women, having babies in their old age. Remember that Mary's cousin Elizabeth was just such a woman, thought to be infertile, but pregnant in her old age. The authors wrote, "The one miracle greater than that of a postmenopausal woman conceiving is that of a virgin conceiving." Later in today's reading from Luke, the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The impossibility of Mary's pregnancy and Jesus' birth demonstrates God's divine power, and that is the point of the virgin birth in this story. That's it. not a commentary on Mary's purity or her perpetual virginity, nor is it a commentary about God's thoughts on sex. It's all about God's entrance into the world through the miraculous birth of Jesus. So if you want to talk any more about this, please let me know. Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Has God ever called you to do something that felt impossible at the time? Were you afraid? Did you make every excuse trying to avoid God's call? I think we assume that God's call is big and heroic. But 99% of the time, call is not that at all. A giant claim of Reformation Christians is a belief in the priesthood of all believers. We believe that every believer is called to serve God, like a priest or a minister, loving and serving God and God's people. Call looks different on each one of us. We are called to be people of integrity right where we are. Called to offer loving kindness and compassion to each person in a time and a place when kindness and compassion are not valued. Called to remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ when the gospel is being manipulated and misused so dramatically. Jeremiah and Mary were right to hesitate and to be afraid when God called. Their calls were risky and dangerous. One of my favorite things about Mary's call is that it was not coerced. Mary did not immediately acquiesce. She asked questions before saying yes. In the end, she did agree, saying, "Let it be with me according to your word." God's plan was perilous for Mary. She was pregnant with a child who was not her fiancé's. The punishment for this, according to Jewish law, was death by stoning. Few of us are called by God to such dangerous tasks. Mostly our calls are small, nudges from the Holy Spirit encouraging us to make the phone call we've been dreading, to apologize to that person that we've hurt, to talk less and listen more, to reach out to the new person in our sphere who might need a friend, to bring a meal or to offer help to someone, to send a card, to attend a meeting, or to show up to a protest. It's all too easy to miss God's calls or to dismiss them when we're afraid to follow through, or we're too tired or too busy. There's a great scene in the movie L.A. Story. Has anybody seen that one? So good. God starts talking to Steve Martin through an automated sign on the freeway. God's words typed out in big, huge neon. Wouldn't that be helpful? Our reading this morning ends with verse 39. It's a strange stopping point. Immediately after giving her consent to the pregnancy, Luke wrote this: "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country." Mary went with haste to her pregnant cousin Elizabeth's house. We don't really know why, but we can guess why she ran. Maybe she ran to find safety with Elizabeth. Maybe she wanted to avoid the social stigma. Maybe she needed the emotional and spiritual support that Elizabeth so freely offered to her. The first thing that Elizabeth said upon seeing Mary was this: "Blessed are you among women." Earlier, I quoted the Reverend Dr. Bo-Young Lee, who wrote, "Some fear protects us, but some fear is the threshold of transformation." Mary transformed her fear. I imagine that she was still afraid. I would guess that fear never left Mary because she knew her son and she knew what could happen to him. But even though she was afraid, she kept moving forward. This is, of course, exactly what God asks of us throughout our lives and each time we sense God's call. Listen to this poem from the Reverend Sarah R. Speed. It's called The First Step. Watch any parent. It starts with the first step. They kneel down. They smile with anticipation. They reach for their baby, calling and cooing them forward. And then before they know it, they're running behind a bike. They're yelling, "Keep pedaling, you've got it, I'm right here." And they're jumping up and down because that little red helmet just passed the mailbox. And then, just like that, they're driving in circles in the church parking lot. They're giving instructions about easing on and off the pedal. They're having conversations about curfew and heartbreak. And then, before they know it, they're standing in a hospital room, their heart is bursting, and they say, "Put her head right here. Rock her gently. Do you remember the nursery rhymes? You were born for this. The first step is always the hardest, but you, beloved, were born for this." Amen.